This is JFM Podcast.
Well, life sometimes happens and we get to ask ourselves several questions, but of course, who are we to question God in important situations? I mean, when certain things happen and don't come our way. It's not the wish of anyone to lose anybody, but unfortunately, this is a great loss to the people of Plateau State as a chieftain of the All Progressive Congress, that's the opposition on the Plateau, talking about the spokesperson of the party, another person, but Mr. Namang Sylvester, was, shot dead during the weekend. The APC chieftain, was killed at Panshin local government of Plateau State, where he attended a burial on the 17th February 2024, according to reports. This occurred, at a stopped, they think wherever I stop right now is being mixed up because the Nigerian police, from the statements, being issued by DSP Alabo Alfred, came out to say that from the report they got from the DPO, this was what it was like, that, the gunmen, they actually received information as at 8 p.m. in the night, a gunman suspected to be kidnappers numbering about seven invaded a relaxation center of one Mr. Sonny Okonkwo, located along Panshin Josh Road. They kidnapped and kidnapped the owner. While in the process, a customer who was said to be, Sylvanus Namang, was shot dead by the assailant. On receipt of the information, the Commissioner of Police, that CP Hassan Steve Jabanet, FCID, PSC Plus, Director, the Area Commander, and DPO Panshin, to arrest the suspect and rescue the victims. Well, the Area Commander and DPO immediately swung into action, engaged the hoodlums in a gun battle, and due to, superior gun power, they were able to foil the kidnap attempt. The suspects ran away with serious gunshot injuries. The victim was rescued and rushed to the General Hospital, Panshin, for treatment of bullet and machete injuries. On a sad note, after much struggle for his life, the victim was later confirmed dead by the medical professionals as a medical doctor there. The CP, uses this opportunity to console, with the family as a commissioner of police. The police actually went out to do their job, but this is actually another insecurity matter. Over time, we talk about insecurity. It seems it gets worse every day. It seems solutions are not, found every day. Now, I'm talking about a big wig now of a certain political party who has ruled the plateau for 8 years, and now, for some reasons, now opposition. Now, this is not time for political parties to engage, in certain conversations like debates or arguments or putting blames at this very point. So this is the time where, we need to come together and fight this. Now it is happening. We don't know who will be next. That's the major problem. So I think at this very point, it's beyond politics. It's actually about the protection of our own community. Whether we like it or not, we are mixing our political party. I mean, we are mixing our societies, be you from whatever political party or political ideology. Well, we're talking about the level of insecurity on the plateau today and how it has been dealt with. Of course, we expect DSP Alfred Alabo to join us in the program. I think that should be before we continue, because he has other engagements to actually engage in this morning, as the as he might be meeting with the governor, according to information I got. Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk. I am Richard Badum.
And I am Naomi Karim. Thank you for joining us on this segment of Let's Talk on the Morning J, 101.9 FM. Just like Richard rightly said, the All Progressive Congress and the immediate family of the late Sylvanus Namang was thrown into mourning yesterday following the death of the publicity secretary of the APC on the plateau. He actually hailed from Mangu local government and was shot in the neighboring local government, which is Panshin local government, where he attended the burial. And like Richard rightly said, the police PRO, Mr. Alfred Alabo, in a press statement said Namang was killed at a relaxation spot in Panshin. And also we see that the member of House of Representatives representing Pangshin, Kanke and Kanam constituency of Plateau, that is Yusuf Gagdi, has said that he expects security agencies to apprehend the perpetrators because Namang was killed in the headquarters of his constituency. Now, the rise in insecurity has become terribly overwhelming.
I tell you.
Terribly alarming, terribly overwhelming, and it has raised more concerns among the citizens in Nigeria. Are our lives safe? Are our properties safe? Can we go about our daily business? I mean, for Silvanus, he was attending a burial ceremony. So does that mean that right now, as it is in the country, we cannot move about our daily activities? We cannot comfortably or conveniently move from one point to another without being afraid of being attacked by either bandits or known gunmen, headers, clash, and all of that? How well do the security operators right now expect that we trust them with our lives and our properties? Well, joining us this morning to have this conversation right here with us in the studio is Prince Valentine Adese. Good morning and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me this morning. How was the weekend? I believe you can see your face looking at
me. Yeah, I think we had a splendid weekend until this, news broke out. Yeah, we all mourning at this point. I think all the enjoyments on the weekend were actually thrown into the dustbin. You know, that's just the fact. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, just like Richard also said, this is not the time to push blames around. This is the time to find the perpetrators of this dastardly act. And my first question to you, Prince Valentine, will be, do we have to wait until it gets to someone who is seemingly important before the security operatives will do their job? Because time and time again, we see that these killings, these attacks have been happening year in, year out, day in, day out. Do we have to wait until it gets to someone who is important before the security operatives act?
Well, you just asked me a fundamental question that we need a historical answer. One thing you must know, even from our literatures, you will find out that it is when the rich dies that you hear comments.
Hmm.
Yes, when the poor dies, there's nothing to be said about it. If you go back to the history of how the Royal Niger Force was formed, among other military and paramilitary institutions, you notice that the basic aim why they were formed is to protect the rich. So anytime something happens to the rich, you see them coming, you know, to know what is going on. And the look of the recent, that is in 20th century, human beings have become figures. You know, when you say 20 die, it's like if it's news, that's what we hear these days. Not how we're able to prevent them from dying. People, at a point, even it became a political argument. How many died during your time and how many died during my time? So you understand. I think when it happens to the big names, you know, that's when the security wakes up. Let me tell you something. It is very sad to note that when other Nigerians die, it takes months and days to really trace what killed them. But if you kill a policeman just close to your community, I'm telling you, in less than 24 hours, the name, the person, the instrument he used, all will be discovered within 24 hours. So does that not tell you more about how our country, you know, operates? Let me take you back into memory lane in Plateau here. J.C. Aruku, call him Chief J.C. Aruku, was killed. He was not only killed, his body was...
Machested.
There's a language for it. I'm trying to get it. You understand? After a campaign in Bassa local government. And as we speak up to this hour, the police or any security has not come out to tell us during the Dare era that this is exactly the persons who committed that crime. While we were mourning Aruku, 2 days later, a cameraman from NTA was also killed. Within that area, as I speak to you to this hour, nothing, no information concerning how he was killed. Here, you know, very close to Plateau Hospital, a cameraman also of PRTV was also killed and put under that drainage until the next morning, after he was called out by a group of persons to come and do a job. As we also speak to this hour, nobody
has been apprehended for that
or have been arrested, paraded like they normally do. for Nigerians to see what killed that journalist. More also in Rayfield, when you are going to Rayfield, immediately you, just after the bend.
Yes.
There was another journalist before this Rolling Mills, what do you call it?
Steel Rolling Mills Quarters.
Yeah. There was another journalist that was killed and kept under the culvert. The next morning he was discovered. As I speak to you also, no information, not how he was killed. Don't forget also that Namang is also a very strong media man.
Mm.
He was a GM
of Standard newspaper.
And he has remained within the media circle until this very...
I think he was also GM of Lafayette FM Radio.
Yes, now he has been several... I tell you, he has remained in the media circle. And you also know that three journalists from Newsgate magazine were also killed, you know, during the crisis in 2008. As I speak to you today, their bodies, whatever, had not been found. Now we're talking about the recent one, which also has to do with a media man who plays, you know, an active role within a political party. And the stories we hear are so terrible, so disjointed and unclear. The police had one. The journalists also made their own, you know, investigation.
Some say from the pop, some say from provision.
Let me tell you, if you go to our media portals or you go to our platforms, you will see the reactions against the police statement, and it will shame you to be a Nigerian and living in Plateau.
I think coming to that, we had the conversation this morning while coming to the office with the PPRO, you know, this morning about the situation. And he explained to us that, you know, someone actually called, which, you know, the name was not really mentioned. We happened to be a journalist, a well-known journalist. And he said, the person said, I saw your report, but that wasn't what actually happened. And he was like, what really happened? Please tell us, because we got a first-hand information from the DPU. And the person claimed to be an eyewitness, you know, in that very situation when that very thing happened. Now, being an eyewitness, why didn't you identify with the police? You know, first to say this person is not, because the police said they don't really know him at first. It was after when it happened, they got to understand that this was who, because in their statement, I tell you, it was in quotes, one Silvanus Namang. To tell you, they might not even know exactly
who he was,
you know,
exactly
he
at
was that
time.
Very person at that very time. But they said one Silvanus Namang was shot dead. Now, should we say at this very point that the police on their own side, you know, actually acted according to their profession? Because from the look of things, yeah, we know him to be a bigwig, but the police might not really know his face, probably, to actually know. Couple the fact he didn't die in the state capital, probably where I would have said maybe a lot of people would have known him and the police there. He died in Punch, somewhere in Punching. He was killed somewhere in Punching. So I don't know. Should we say the contradiction is from the facts that the two sides feel to understand themselves? Or you feel there is something somewhere we don't know about.
Or there's a truth that's yet to be uncovered.
Yes.
You see, I'm a journalist, and I want to report this the way it is.
Okay.
Namang and others have been on several press releases telling the world that they are under threat.
Wow.
Immediately and after the elections. It's very clear. There's no journalist.
Is that after the 2023 gubernatorial election?
Yes, okay. In most of his press statements, he closes it with that word threats, that they have been receiving threats on the plateau. And if you drag it further, you also notice that the statements of the police said something that journalists are worried about. First, you look at the channel of communication.
True.
You said the thing happened, they got to know, they had to phone the CP, the CP had to give them instruction, then they now rose to occasion. Please. I think the press release is with you.
Yeah.
You can see these connections there.
True.
Which means when it was happening, they were waiting for instruction. But I know that the little security training we had is that there is what we call decision making.
Mm.
Apart from protocol. While somebody is following protocol, they're decision making. That means there was no decision making as at the time they struck. Going further, you will find out that people who were in the scene were also running because the place was barricaded. According to them, if the place was barricaded and is very close to the police station, what happened? Why were there no actions that will now say, no, you use too much force, or you lose the less force, or you do not take the action as at when it's supposed to have been taken? So I think the police need to come and tell us more. Because take it or leave it, the media operatives on the plateau are beginning to lose faith, especially with press releases coming from the police angle. Like me, I've been over 20 years. I've stopped actually reporting security. I only report what I know, I see, or if I'm in that event. This is exactly what I do for the past 20 years.
But from the look of things, it seems there is a loophole somewhere, because you said, you know, they've been receiving threats, not just Namang and a couple of others, they've been receiving threats. That's after the general election. But of course, the question is, do they really petition into the police and tell the police who exactly was this very people? Because at this point now, we can't tell you what the suspects are. I mean, or they can't lay their hands on the suspects. But as it stands, the police claim to have repelled a certain group. Talking about that they tried to, recover
the body. They engaged in gun battle with this person.
Now I see the smiles on your face. But then how did they manage to, contact the CP, leaving out the DPO of that very place, leaving out the area commander and getting straight to the CP? Then the CP now has to come down again, channel this very communication, giving orders. Now, in such cases, must we wait for orders before we do the necessary thing from the top?
We are moving from information.
Yes.
Tracking it up, it becomes, then it's coming down as a directive.
They will call the CP to tell the CP what exactly
happened. Now, we're talking about an action that will not take more than 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So that's why we are worried. Are we actually safe? What is the response time of Nigerian police? So that we can get it very clear. There are times they give us press releases and they write the phone numbers, several phone numbers there. What minutes does it take them to respond? So that we can get it very clear. When you say you repel, it now means the people's action was, foiled. It now means they never succeeded in what they want to do. But this time we are hearing that we've already recorded 2 deaths. They've also told us of so many people who were macheted. Now, the next English was, look, probably they are kidnappers. Then on a line, he now said, these people are assailants. Now, we know the full meaning of assailants. There are people who just wake up, use matches, and start hitting other people.
Yes.
But these people had an intention. Their intention could be defined by the statement of the police, which says they might be kidnappers. So, where do we fall in all this? And that's why the security of the people in Plateau State is very, very important.
Yeah.
And that's why people are calling on the governor to call on the security, so that we'll sit down, so that they can be in Plateau, people can sleep with 2 eyes closed. It should not be on one particular person, which means if a big man like this falls and then we cannot really trace it, what happens to the poor men like us? And I've told you, when poor men die, there are no common sense. So if that is the history we've inherited, can't we change it? Can't the police change it? Can't the other security people change it? We see the stories of hunters also coming in some of our reports.
Yes.
Now, at what point did the hunters take charge?
The vigilante and hunters together chasing, I actually came across that report.
And at what point did the police come to take over from the hunters? These are some stories that are missing. We thought
they are missing
come
links.
And clear. Yeah.
Yes.
They should clear it. And that's why we never took the press release of the police very serious. I know what is happening within our platform. I think all journalists are angry. They are not only angry, they've hated that press statement. They are even waiting for it to be withdrawn.
I think the CP actually, DSP, that's PPRO Alabo, spoke about that this morning. And hopefully he might join us here for some clarifications on that very statement. But let's talk about the reaction of the police. Must we wait for issues like this to come up before we see the police step up? Shouldn't there be a way of, repelling attacks, than actually going back to say we tried, we actually went after them and rescued? Because sometimes the damage must have been done. Now, some people have actually been thrown into money, preparing for something they never planned for. Yeah. Because no one actually plans to bury anyone at all. Just like it happens, it's life, you can't fight it. But in a situation like this, what do you think the police should have done to have actually stopped it? Because Plateau State, every time we come up here, it is one case of insecurity or the other. And this is another one in a place that they've not really experienced such an issue for a very long time. Now, what's the probability that that place is now a secured place? And what should the police do to make sure things like this don't really ensure, don't actually happen again? Because it's very important.
You see, we are in our last days of managing this security issue. If we don't manage it well, then it becomes something else. Why am I saying it's the last days? The hunger in the country is converting people to become too many things. And it will be too wide for the police to handle. So if the police can't manage this, we have a problem. The police need a new orientation, reorientation about the situation today that we face. You understand? This Bobe, the last command, I think it should be jettisoned at a point. Let me give you an example. Most of the people who were arrested abroad, either by having cocaine in their bag and the rest.
They didn't wait for last command.
The policeman who is there, do you understand? He does not need to call his boss to say, I want to arrest this man before you say arrest him. But you hear our security outfits, what they tell you. They say, we're not told to attack. We're not told to arrest. We're not told. These are the problems.
They were waiting for a command.
Today, like that statement said, if they had sent to the CP and the CP say, I'm sleeping, allow it to go. That's how it will go. So we must get a new orientation in a state, in a situation we are today. We cannot be living by that. We cannot be living by the directive of a DPO. We should live by this policeman who is in that place, who is on stand. Those days of Dandoka, where they were very short,
Nika
jacket. They stay pole to pole. And they can arrest you at any moment. They don't need any other instruction to get. As long as you break the law, they arrest you. This is what we expect that should come at this point in time, because Nigeria is facing a sleepless night over insecurity. We know a lot of things have happened in Mangu area, between Mangu,
Bokkos,
and the rest. Is it the time for us to wait for instructions from somewhere else? So, okay, if that's the case, that means when the CP also gets, he has to call maybe
the AIG.
Then that will call. I mean, that protocol is unnecessary for now. We need to get a new orientation. We need to get a new approach to our insecurity situation. And that's why I was saying you should withdraw this statement. The media is not happy over it. And not because Namang is one of us. But the fact here is that he showed a total state of insecurity where people will come into the town, exhibit their business intention of kidnapping, succeed and go away, and leave people in mourning state. And then the police will say they repel them. This is where we want to get. Let him come and tell us what that word means, repel. When you say you repel something, that means the thing was about to come and then you repel.
And you stopped it from coming.
Then going further again is that the information, at what point did he get to the police? Was it when the action was going on? Or they got the information that they were going to be infiltration? Because we see here on the plateau, in Jos especially, at a point in time, you see policemen stopping vehicles, trying to look who and who is inside, NDLEA, everybody's checking. So at least did they do that? Well, more also, you must know, my brother, is that non-uniform policemen, do you know they outnumber those wearing uniform? Yes.
You mean the intelligence?
I'm telling you. Even in beer parlor, in business centers, name it, you will see them there. So the question is, did they fail? Why was it that it only when it comes to the uniform ones within the DPO sector that got the information? What happened to those ones there? Are we saying they did not? They were not on duty? Because we have them. There are many. Even where we are now, you would be surprised.
That's
that
true.
There are a lot of informants of the police.
The spy and others.
So what did the police do? What kind of orientation have they given to them? Is it that they've told them, okay, you two, don't give us information until we call you? It's strange.
So from what you're saying, the police or the security outfits have not really done their job the way it's supposed to
be. Yes, they have everything you think they can work with.
And at this point now, shouldn't we say it's time the community gets strengthened? Talk about the vigilante, talk about the Operation Rainbow, talk about, the hunters. Shouldn't this be time for them to actually get strengthened? Because we don't know who is next. We don't know who might actually fall victim. Now, it is the APC chieftain who was killed over the weekend. We don't know where the stick might land, next, on who it might really land. At this point, shouldn't it be time to actually strengthen or beat that separation of power actually takes place? Because it seems taking orders from the top is something that's actually caused a lot of harms, in Nigeria. One person holds the order or directive of over 200 million Nigerians, to protect the lives of over 200 million Nigerians. And maybe one policeman or one CP is the one everyone is waiting for to secure to secure the millions of lives on the plateau. And at the same time, sometimes we actually know this, the nation we are in. Sometimes network failures actually come on board. Sometimes we get serious issues. Now, our police officers may not be everywhere, but we have communities We have people who are ready to protect their communities, but they are not really empowered that way. Shouldn't be time for, I think this should really be the time, or don't you think it's time for us to actually empower these people and give them the necessary information, or equip them the way they are supposed to protect this, to reduce the number of crimes we have in our society?
Yeah, and also to add to that, we have seen in the past week that the governors have been clamoring, or rather the National Assembly has been mulling over the state policing. So should we also say that this should be a call to action for that to be implemented?
My sister and brother, it's good that we are Nigerians and we are journalists and we are doing our job. But there's a sad development that you must follow.
All right.
You know, when you want to own your radio, you know, and then it starts showing you system failure. Can you continue?
No.
No.
Nigeria cannot continue until we repair the system failure. There's a system failure. As we speak today, even the streets where you live, you don't know the number of people living in that street.
Very true.
Just your own street. You don't know the number of old people here. You don't know the young ones. You don't even know the married women. You don't know no statistics, no data. And you cannot run a security without data. 90% of us even carry ID cards. Don't be surprised that even the police don't even know where those organizations are.
That's true.
Some people don't even know where JFM is now. I hope you understand.
Very true.
So the security also has its own problem. That is why we are also clamoring for state police. It is not because, as Iwaju have said it. The fact here is that Nigerians have been clamoring for this since 2004. Because it is the closest people that understand who and who and what activities goes on within a community. But let me tell you something. You are asking community to save themselves. But each time there is an opera, they go into that same community and retrieve all their defense mechanisms. I hope you understand.
True. Yes.
So at the end of the day, what do you fight with? Is it with water? Is it with cup and spoons? This is what goes on a daily basis throughout, especially here in Plateau. And only for you to hear the next 2 days, something has struck those community after they've retrieved whatever they have to use as defense mechanism. We must go into policing by everybody becoming part of the police. Mm. The Constitution, Section 24, clearly states how a citizen is supposed to operate. When you see something, you say something. There's even a power of citizen arrest. You must not even be maybe Operation Rainbow, Hunter, or whatever, whatever. These people are coming into their groups to enforce their constitutional rights. But you find out that because there's what you called the conflict of a state policy, the conflict of a local government policy, and that of the federal government, where that of the federal government succeeds. The police, the army, and the rest are federal government agencies. So when you create your own at the local, they crush it. The recognition that Nigerians are pursuing now is recognize us too, that this community police and this state police are relevant to us. You recall that security in those days was firmly based at local government level.
True.
Today, where is it? Even the local government chairman himself is vulnerable because they gave him one or two policemen and I think he's comfortable. So these are the issues, sir. Until we get a system repair, we cannot correct it in the middle when somebody is trying to soak scores. Because the insecurity we feel today is that it has pervaded us. And until we grow to get this reality before our leaders, they will not get it right. And I've also told you here that the victims of all this insecurity, they are not the people that journalists meet. And that's why the change of mind today, that journalists want to report what they see. Because if you don't report what you see, you are also suffering the victim of that incident.
That's true.
If today we are reporting what the police have said about how great Chief Naman died, then we are doing injustice to him and his family. If we say we must bring justice, then we must go back to that scene, make an investigation, and report exactly what happened in that place. That is the right thing a journalist should do.
Right, the channel of communication has actually been one of the major problems, like you said. But let's get to the phone lines and hear from the listener who actually wants to put his view. But please, let's be civil in making our comments. We know this is actually a tough one on everyone. No one actually is finding it easy. And of course, there is a disclaimer. The opinions and, of course, messages you were getting from GFM 101, maybe through phone calls or our comment section on social media, are not properties of GFM 101.9. Just City Bus, solely the opinions of individuals, even as we try as much as possible to control, the level at which the emotions might rise.
Yes, because this is truly
a very sensitive matter. Yes.
All right, the phone lines are 0905566699 or 0812187777. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Okay, we seem to have lost the call. Also, remember that you can go to our Facebook page at JFM Live to drop your comments
on the post
regarding the situation on ground. As take the number again, 0905566699 or 0812187777.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Richard.
Yeah, good morning to you this morning.
Ricky, this is Jusar from Itijosho.
Right, okay. Jusar. So good to hear from you this morning. Please.
I've said a lot this morning. And honestly speaking, I need to tell you people the truth. The masses are not feeling short. The heat are much on the masses. Security, no security. The system of all progress country where it was killed yesterday. Just like that. And it's very, very unfortunate that the government of the day are not doing anything about this insecurity that happened in this country. You are alive. You cannot even eat food. Leave us with our life again. No way. Then I want to ask a vital question to them this morning. Why are they still there as the leader of this country? You cannot take care of insecurity, food inflation, a mudu of rice, 2,000 plus, got 1,000, corn, 1,000. Pure water bag, as of this morning, is 350 naira. A bag of pure water, as I'm talking to you this morning, 350 naira. What are you governing? You cannot allow things to come into the country. You said that you can do it by yourself. The governors of PDP are telling you to resign. If you cannot control what is happening in the country, some people that are supporting them are saying that why would they make such comments? When you cannot take care of the citizens that you promised, what are you doing there? So you said that the comment, yes, true. We have to say our mind. But what I want to make them clear to know this morning is that people are angry. And they have pushed people to the wall. The next thing, reaction of people, they will not like it. We are not praying for that. But they should just try by all means and make sure within a shortest time, make 1 week, 2 weeks, to take care of this thing that is happening. God bless you.
All right. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us this morning.
All right. We've actually heard from, Jude Sat. But let's talk about, trying to get these people who are involved in this act. Over time, people actually get involved in criminal activities. We don't get to hear anything from the police or anyone saying of any arrest, or even if they make arrest, we don't get to further hear how the arrest actually went to, probably if they've been sentenced or nothing. Now, this is another case that has happened. And so far, from the whole of the statements, no arrest was made. Instead, they brought another case. I think I need to dwell on that. They brought another case of, this is a different matter. Another case of what happened in Panshin, I think weeks ago, about, two priests who were kidnapped by, I think, some members of the church, members of the church. That was a report that was brought in and said one of them were arrested and the rest, and that one were aid in arresting others. Like, you don't get to see immediate arrest of those people. And even though even if the police claim that, they get to, they actually have the device to actually track whoever does the crime. Should we say these people, the criminals, have been protected at some point? Or to you, as a journalist who have been in this profession for years now, what will you actually call this act of the police?
You see, if you look at the way they act, in the American language, they will tell you that these are professionals. Because the way they handle guns, the way you get the shots, the kind of caliber of persons who handle these shots, it will tell you that also in Nigeria, that these people are professionals. You also know that in several recent parades of criminals, their leaders have either become being either ex-military men, ex-policemen, ex-something, which shows that they are within their ranks. Now, the question will now be, where is the police having this problem? Is it that the information that they need to take a decision is not coming to them as and when due? Or when it's due, they really don't take steps to it? Let me tell you something. One thing is to arrest a criminal. Another thing is to prove that that person is actually
a criminal.
Criminal, and he was in that act as at the time of his arrest. Probably that's why we don't see a lot of them in court, because I covered the judiciary. You have never seen any trial for the past 6 or 7 years that have led to such a case.
All right, I think let's get back to the phone lines. We'll get back to your thoughts, Prince Valentine. Yes. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. It's Radio Mama. I don't know, calling from Nigeria.
Good morning, Radio Mama. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, you all have said it all, especially your guest. Let me tell you something. Our problem is systemic, and the office of the citizen must be reactivated if we are to get it right.
Mm.
Some of those countries we are talking about in, abroad, they have very strong institutions, and these institutions are funded by the office of the citizen. We are so docile. So the government of the day has taken our docility for granted. Now, state police, that was the first governor I heard the state police from when we had the Dogon Hawa crisis. You know, and everybody, you know, is shouting him down, started seeing the whole situation from the prism of ethnicity, you know. We thought it was a different issue. Now, the killing has gone wrong. So who will be next? That's the thing. So unless we have state police, and then have the police, that is the security, starting from the local government, this idea of phoning this one, phoning that one, I'm not blaming any of them. How many are there on the ground? How many? They themselves, are they not, are they, even though they have signed that they are going to die, does it mean that they don't have maximum for protection? Sometimes the assets are even more powerful than them, that is in terms of complicated weapons. Sometimes they are, and they outnumber them. So what do you expect? You know? So we have to do the right thing. That's the way I'm looking at it. Look at what happened in Ondo. What I'm not told to. Before it came to be, people were killed. Even on that same day, when the daughter of the prominent Yoruba elder statesman was killed, people were killed. Nobody talked about it. It was when that the lady was killed. That's when woman was killed. That was when they now initiated our motor coup. Must the government allow a situation to become an emergency before attending to it? Look at everything has collapsed. Everything. They said there's no. They have removed or something, but they are subsidizing. So what the hell are we talking about? All this time, let's not give up on Nigeria. All right, Jimma.
Thank you so much, Radio Mama, for your thoughts. All right, we've actually heard from Radio Mama. I think we've had about two calls now. Do you really have reactions to what the callers have actually said so far?
You know, it's just like what I said, I think they are bringing up the issue. I said this is the right time for us to try and tackle this insecurity issue. Because when other social factors crop in, and you find out that these are the social factors they are talking about, food, you know, all those, in economics they call it physiological needs. When these physiological needs are deprived of the common man, they become something else. Somebody cannot pay for
your basic needs are actually difficult to meet up.
You know, basic needs, you know, they are taken away from you. So, and this, at that time, you cannot really. There's somebody who told me in my office, I said that, do I know that people are selling their personal belongings now, that they bring it out and start selling just to buy food? I hope you understand.
That's really
sad. Do you know the emotion and the depression within that person? You understand? So it's like bipolar. You can see the person change in 1 second. He might be laughing. The next moment, he's angry because the situation around him is very, very terrible. And he could do anything for survival. These are the dangerous things. And that is what Radio Mama tend to emphasize. You can recall, I told you, when the poor die, there are no common sense. Now, until a big person's daughter was killed or kidnapped, that we started hearing Amoteku, Amoteku, and the rest. So also, it happens in several places. Until we wake up to see that all Nigerians are very important. Even the police, Do you think the police are not important, like she said? They are very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
They have families. They have people they are training.
Of course.
They have so many. And then the young, it is always the recruits that are pushed to the front. Do you think they, even though they've signed that, okay, we are ready to die, that they will just go there and die? It's not true now.
They will not die cheaply.
They will not die. They have to have a reflex on saying, I have somebody I'm leaving behind. What am I leaving behind? Have you seen a retired policeman? You pity him. Do you understand? And then he has to leave. So we Nigerians, we are all Nigerians, including the security operatives. This situation is affecting all of us.
Right.
Go to the police barrack. You can see that major roads are past the police barrack are already barricaded, so they are useless because of security. So it shows that they too, they are also insecure. Look at the bombs they put by the police headquarters. Does that not also show you that they themselves also are scared of the level of insecurity? If they are not scared, let them remove it now. Let the people pass passing very clear.
I think prevention is what they're trying to do. Let's get back to the phone lines.
Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
All right, the phone lines are still 0905-566-6699. Only call 0812-187-7777. These are the lines for you to call to be a part of the program. Or you reach us on our Facebook page, GFM Live. That's the Facebook page there where we can comment on our post. Let's get back to this call. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Coach Biggie from Tudunwada.
Please, you can be more audible. You said, what's your name?
Biggie from Tudunwada.
All right, Biggie. Good to hear you.
Yeah, you see, on this thing that is happening in this country today, we are talking about insecurity. Just like what Reggie Mama said, if it did not touch their own people, other people that died meant nothing to them. But just because their own is touched, that is why they bring it out. Put your head. And what is not fair? Just imagine what is happening today in this country. In my area here, people hardly get water to drink. Very, very hard. Just come around to the water area within my tourism. You will see what I'm telling you. Hardly to give common water. Light. Very hard to give. All these things. Then are you expecting an individual and that to be happy? You don't call for. Please, our government should do something. Thank you.
Right, thank you. You know, a lot of social matters have actually been brought up. Are there reasons for crimes? Social matters, talking about,
basic health amenities that are not being provided.
Are there reasons? Because, they will always tell you that there is no excuse for you committing crimes. But are these really reasons for committing crimes?
You see, when a man is pushed to the wall and he needs to solve his responsibility, you don't tell him exactly how he's going to act. And that is why government is there. There are some essentials that government are supposed to play. Take example. Our constitution makes it very clear that government should engage itself in agriculture. Our government also makes it very clear that at least to a reasonable level, it should take care of education. Are we seeing all those things?
Not at all.
Rather, the situation, when I was in primary school, it was a missionary school. I know missionaries trained a lot of people, even whether no matter the faith, they come to the missionary school and they train. But at a point, take it, my sister, the fact here is that the public school is now that designated as a poor man's school. Yes, because the rich, the average, have moved their children to private schools. And who is now suffering if there's a strike? It's the poor man's thing.
Yeah.
Who is in the public school?
Public school.
Now, if you individual of us can take six public school students and train them, how much is the money? But you will now discover that the people who are supposed to impact the knowledge to them are the people who are frustrated. They will not pay them salary. They will not do this. And to bring them to a very difficult situation, they push them straight to local government chairman. Say, I'll do it. And if you don't have money as local government chairman, do your business. You see, these are the issues. What would you expect of a growing child who is coming with this psychology that is already going to be poor? So if he does anything, it's not his business. Because there are times you give hope to life. Just throw away life. Say, what is high? Not his life. You give hope of life. You live your life. And that's what you see. Do you think the man who is begging in the street, do you think he's happy to be there?
Of course not.
Do you think he likes his foundation? He too wants to grow, but because he does not have opportunity, if you give him a chance, he will mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you do understand.
Very well.
So whether you like it or not, it also leads to crime.
All right.
There are people you bring out of prison, yeah, they want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm telling you. Ask policemen, ask prison wardens. Because they feel more secure being in the prison yard than bringing them out.
All right. I think we have a call. Let's get to the phone lines quickly. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Richard and Naomi. It's Israel.
Okay, good morning, Israel. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, Richard, if you observe the way our allies run Nigeria, it's as though we have a Nigeria for the poor, a Nigeria for the rich.
So sad.
You see these guys? They provide personal security for themselves. They travel abroad when it comes to health. Their kids go to foreign schools. They wear foreign clothes. So it's as though whatever happens to the country, they look at only what benefits them. In the area of security, education, everything, even the economy, look at what is happening to cost of living today. It's the rich, it's the well-connected that have access to dollars. They are the owner of banks that convert people's naira to buy dollars and stash them. And at the end of it, because they know already that they have information that the economy is dwindling, is going down. They see signs that the economy is collapsing. So they are protecting themselves from every area. Now, leaving the common Nigerians to the risk, to the effects of every of their carelessness, their mismanagement, is the poor that still suffers it. You suffer from insecurity, you suffer from lack of education, you suffer from not having functional facilities, even in the hospitals, you suffer from every problem they create. They are the ones that go to collect loans all the time, they are the ones that steal the loans they collect, and don't be surprised, in most time you will hear, the president will still come up with a request to collect loans, and they don't have any plan to fix the economy so it can benefit everybody. So it's as if it's a one big business that everybody is just capitalizing on what he will get the moment you have an offer. Even those who are telling this government to resign, some of them, their intentions are not even clear. It's opportunities to also lose. So we they have to come out plain, tell us what the problems of these nations are, and if it's something we can solve, let's look for a better way. The only option I feel we have now is to restructure Nigeria so that states that can fail will fail, those that will survive. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Israel, for sharing your thoughts with us this morning.
I think a very strong point there. Those that will stay will stay. Those that will survive. There's a need to restructure Nigeria.
Yes.
Very bold statements there. All right, let's get back to the phone lines quickly. We still have a call. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining the program.
Yes, my name is Maxwell from City Lounge Hotel in Jos.
Hi, Maxwell. Thank you for joining us. The floor is yours.
Yes, I am not always happy. One, this plateau state is in the news for a very wrong reason.
True.
You see, what happened is actually condemnable. It is condemnable not because the person is a D-Wick, but I have a concern that a Nigerian is killed, a plateau person is killed. But my concern is that sometimes the way media report issues, in some instances they say he was killed in a shop. In another way around, they say he was killed in a relaxation place. So it is good that sometimes if something happens like this, let's have a direction that this is exactly what happened. So that he should not bring, so that we should have it exactly that this is what happened. But in a situation where the media report this media will report a different thing, another media will report a different thing, how do we get it correct? That's my concern. Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us this morning.
All right, before we get to the reaction of Prince Valentine, maybe his last reaction, let's get to the comments on Facebook. We have a couple of them. Naomi.
Yes, Chester Phillips says, good morning, the presenter and the guest. I want to condemn the killing of the APC chieftain and one of our brother in Miango yesterday. The security should act fast. And Albert Akaya is saying, the best way to curb insecurity in Nigeria is to fix the economy. Make the economy viable for private sector to thrive. Let the very poor be able to afford his or her livelihood. When this is done, it will trickle down to fixing the security state of our country. My heart is with the family of the bereaved. Good morning. Dimas Bala is saying, really unfortunate that Plateau is in mourning the death of the APC chieftain whose voice is vocal and well-known in Plateau State. May his soul find rest. Until intelligence is employed, as well as surveillance for monitoring insecurity, will persist. Drones and surveillance are the answers in fighting insecurity 21st century. Julius Achigak is also saying, good morning, Naomi, Richard, and the great guests in the studio. The federal government should allow state governors to have state security in order to secure the lives and properties of their citizens. Nigeria has become a failed state without sanity. God bless JFM and Plateau people. All right, let's take this particular call. And
hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you. Your name and the location.
Benedict calling from Chelingada.
All right, Benedict. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. You see, on that particular killing, Tanchin, your guest made mention of something. And he said the state and the local vigilante should be given an opportunity legally from the constitution to be able to protect and protect and defend our lives. To be honest with you, if Nigeria's security has failed to the point that Nigerians are even searching for a way to defend themselves, I don't know what the National Assembly, I don't know what the presidency is waiting, you know, to bring into fiction the self-defense mechanism. The previous government, with the government of Muhammadu Buhari, said that some of the governors, especially governor of Katsina State, said that people should go out and defend themselves. Meanwhile, Danjuma, who rose to the rank of the military to the point of being the chief of army staff, said that self-defense is just the way out of this whole issue. If the government cannot be everywhere, if the government, the police, and the military cannot be everywhere in our localities to be able to protect Nigerians, and of course, it's almost impossible for them, in fact, very, very impossible for them to be everywhere. Please, enact this law and make people to defend themselves. Nigerians cannot continue just dying just because they're Nigerians. Somebody called on this station and said, the price of food now is another factor, it's another thing that is killing Nigerians. On a daily basis, people are committing suicide left, right, and center. These people cannot be able to access food. I am telling you, it is just a one-way traffic that the government has said. The government that cannot be able to see the citizen, or else they are committing a humongous amount of money as taxes. Mm. They cannot defend them, they cannot provide food for them. Monies that the federal government is realizing from the subsidy remover, they are sharing it to the state governors. The state governors will just use this money, sit on it, and they don't allow the citizens to feed. Why are you removing the same subsidy? And again, in return, again, are sending the money back to the state. Why don't you just allow you to subsidize the fuel? So Nigerians are saying that this particular government, we are not sharing with all of this government. To be very, very honest, you cannot protect the people, you cannot feed them. Why are you in government? Government is about solving problems. You cannot be able to feed this country. Please, can you raise or give people the opportunity to defend themselves? Mm. And I think that is just the way out. We don't forget about calling them a metoku, calling them a bidango, calling them vigilante. Defend yourself in as much as you can be able to do. That's the way out. That's my take.
Thank you so much
for joining us this morning. Okay, for want of time, we may not be able to take more calls or more comments this morning on this segment of Let's Talk.
So, Prince Valentine, let's have your final words on building a security network that will protect the life of Nigerians to actually stop issues like this. Because crimes like this, to me, I see them, well, I don't want to say cheap. I don't want to say cheap because, no killing or crime is actually cheap at all. But to you, how can we curtail or end all this incessant, criminal activities?
Well, I will start this way. First is that last, the second to the last caller, is to make him understand that the position of a journalist is always very different. The PPRO is an image maker of the police. It's not, and that is where he remains. He should also look at what the media is saying. But because we collaborate, we also use comments from them, we interview them, we use their press statement to also explain strategic communication, exactly what the police is doing. But that does not stop us from actually getting the reactions of Nigerians, because the Constitution, Section 22, says we should report to the people. So we are reporting to the people, and that's our constitutional responsibility. Now, diving it down, is that there's already a proposed community relationship with the police. The police should step it up. It should not be a selective process. It should step it up. The last one is this, The police know that the courts these days frown at non-video recording of events. Mm. The police should go and purchase cameras like every other country for the police, so that when they are talking about an event, they can show you the video within their shoulder where they are hanging it.
Yes.
Not calling to tell us that somebody was killed in this place, and that person tell us he was killed in some other place. No, somebody was daggered. Where is the video?
No evidence.
I hope you understand. And that is why you find out to implement it, they are using handset. When they catch a criminal, they want you to confess, you know, and record it.
Mm.
That is the process. It's not a legal thing. So we should stop this idea of subjective reporting to the masses where there are not evidence to show to the society. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Prince Valentine, for joining us in the studio this morning. As sensitive and as very emotional as the killing of the APC chieftain is, we are hopeful that the security operatives swing into action and the culprits are caught. And much more than that, that it extends to the life and property of every Nigerian. That's safety.
All right, many thanks once again for being a part of the program, Prince Valentine Adese. It's been a pleasure having you in the studio. Many thanks to you, the listener, and also to those who called in on the show and to all those who shared their comments with us on our social media platforms. We hope this will not really continue anymore. Well, may the life or the soul of those departed rest in peace, and may God give them a place, there in heaven. We pray this will not really happen again. But of course, we're looking out to have the PPRO of Plateau State Police Command here. I think any day within the week, it was actually, caught up in a very tough issue. He said he wants to be on radio to clear the air. So we'll surely have him here maybe one of these days, probably tomorrow or next. All right, this is the size of feet once again. Thank you. Let's join the news by 10 a.m., top of the hour, as we get the latest information on the issue. Condolences everywhere. We just pray God continue to protect us. I'm Richard Badu.
Thank you for that, and I am Naomi Karim. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.